Hi, everybody. I'm Heather Markell, and welcome to another episode of the Inspired Nomads. And today we are particularly inspired because we are doing a wine tasting. Jennifer's a little ahead of me. I'm going to start with my white wine here. We are in, what is this place called?
Franschhoek.
Franschhoek. I keep wanting to say Frankenbosch because I combine Stellenbosch and Franschhoek.
Why not?
But we're in Franschhoek, South Africa. Combining an interview with wine. I mean, why would you not, right? So,
and it's a beautiful day. We're coming out of winter here in South Africa, so.
Completely. It's one of the more beautiful days that I've had so far here in Cape Town. And as you know, this series takes a look at what life is like when you leave stability behind to go travel the world. So today, my guest is Jennifer McGee. And we met, actually, this is a fun story. A former colleague of mine is your sorority sister, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, from college. Yeah, a long time ago.
And so thank you to Lara because we connected on Facebook and she's like, oh, I have a friend there and connected us and here we are. So the first place I like to start that I'm going to drink a sip of wine is what is the stability that you left behind? And tell us a little bit also, like, where are you from? A little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I left stability, I would say, about 3 years ago now to start traveling the world kind of full time. Consider myself location independent. I'm actually an architect, trained three degrees in architecture basically, and working in New York since 2000. So did the very typical sort of educational process and training and working at a firm and for many years. But I always kind of had an entrepreneurial spirit, I guess. Mm-hmm. And absolutely loved New York. But once the recession of 2008 hit, it kind of decimated our industry. And at that point, I sort of had to regroup. A lot of the firms in New York closed that were in the design and architecture industry. Because clients left, projects left, it just sort of disappeared, so it went down the drain. And I actually started traveling at that point. I originally left New York, basically it was 2010 by the time the recession had kind of fully decimated us, and went to Africa. I actually ended up in Uganda. Out of all places, in Kampala, and spent 2 months in Uganda and Tanzania, and reset my whole sort of world view of, life and being on a treadmill, the work treadmill, and just working really, really, really hard, which is what I'd been doing. I mean, I moved to New York in 2000 and was doing all the right things, and here this market crash comes and wipes me out anyway. So I reevaluated, I think, a lot of things. I did go back to New York after that, but set up my own company and set it up basically without overhead. So no office. And so my business partner and I have been doing that for about 10 years. And I realized about 3 years ago that I didn't really need to be in New York anymore. We have a virtual office. We've had a virtual office. Why not take the show on the road? So that is what I have done. And so I've been 3 years now traveling the world, Asia, South America, now here I am in Africa, been based in Cape Town for the longest I've been for those travels in the last 3 years. Been here almost 9 months now, and I've been using it more as my base because it's just an extraordinary city. Yep. And that's kind of what I left behind, the stability I left behind, which was not that much stability, I learned in the end, because you can't control sometimes what the markets do and how that ends up affecting you personally. So
yeah, and I wanted to say, that was a really good point. I think a lot of us out there believe that we have a sense of stability and we're going to hang on to a job until we get to retirement, which nowadays often is not the case. Or maybe you think you'll lose a job and then get another job, and even that job, that idea of stability is a funny thing.
Yes.
And I love that. I think as we travel, we sort of embrace, I don't know what's going to happen today. Like, we may drink more wine and get drunk. We may also just be, be kind of disappointing. We may not. But so there's the stability angle to it. And when you so you kind of took, this is another thing. So some people I interview kind of go just leave the stability and just travel, which was your first experience, right? With
right.
no job, you just kind of go and you travel for a bit. And then others have a passion, a business. Some of them are trying to grow it. It's newer, but it sounds like you have an established business, which is another way you can do this life. I love what you were saying about taking your business, no overhead.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a nomadic choice where you can do what you do really well, but also, you know, whether it be traveling and moving around every few days or a few weeks or being based somewhere else for several months, this is another way that you can have this lifestyle, which is great. So now that you have it, when you look back and you think about, you had this job, stability, working really hard, and now you've kind of switched gears, and you mentioned that when you first came to Africa, you had a lot of changes in your thought processes. Can you tell us what some of those were?
Yeah, it was just, I mean, at that point, I think I was super disillusioned because, mm-hmm. Yeah, this thing that sort of is promised to you, it's not really, but it's sort of implied that you'll have this job, and then you'll get married, and then you're going to have kids and a family, and then you'll move forward and eventually, you know, rise up the ranks of the corporate firm and become partner. And I don't know, that all ended up just moving underneath my feet and just not kind of happening the way that I thought it would. And when things sort of bottomed out, for me, Africa was like so opposite of the New York sort of, you know, pace and grind and go, go, go. I mean, Africa's like, just live today. And the attitude is just very much like, they don't even think about tomorrow. They literally just only think about today. And sometimes that's very frustrating. I remember getting to Africa and just, things were so slow. And, you know, if you didn't, you know, nobody knew, like, how to help you plan a trip. They were just like, you know, oh, we'll just go and take care of that tomorrow. And you're like, oh, but I want to know, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, it literally shifts your thinking. You just, like, you can't, I don't know, you just have to change your entire way of sort of making decisions. And I think that time in Africa just made me go, well, the rest of the world functions fine. Why am I so neurotic? Why have I got so caught up in the, you know, the rat race that I can't stop to sort of enjoy it? And I just noticed people, I started looking at people around me, I was like, everyone's just very chill. Everyone's very
yeah.
relaxed. I was like, why can't I do this? Why am I on this other path? And I don't know, for me, it was the location of being in Africa and just the way that people in Africa, at least my experience of how they handle things, that just was eye-opening. And I really absorbed that and changed my attitude towards what I was doing because of it.
No, that's great. I think that's a really good point. You know, when we're in that corporate environment and working really hard and surrounded by others in it, we are fueled by the belief system that we are creating a tomorrow. You know, and in a couple of my other interviews, we've talked about how unfortunately sometimes, oh, and there's a birthday party going on, so
combined, we're all drinking wine.
We're drinking wine, and there's a birthday party, so sorry for the background noise, but not really, because it's lovely.
Well, it's only about 10:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. So we're drinking early. But you also need to take a drink.
I'm ready to move on to the red. We have two Shirazes, a Cabernet.
I think I'm on the Chardonnay now, which is really good. Where are we? By the way, we're at Roschendal. Oh, my God.
Roschendal,
which is an excellent vineyard so far. So if you come here. But anyway, back to, you know, when you're in that corporate environment and you think, so I have to save up for tomorrow. There's so many, unfortunately, some people don't make it then, you know, so
no.
You've then spent your whole life just working. And I love what you're saying about, you know, living for today, which is a hard thing, I think, because especially when you've been programmed to live for tomorrow, and worry about if your job, even if your job isn't stable, creating this stability. I feel like now that we're talking that in fact, it's like our whole programming is create stability.
Yes.
Right? Whether that's the work, whether that's the money for the retirement fund, the 401k, and the belief that not only are we going to have that when we get to that place, that it's going to be enough to sustain us, and that we're actually going to have a life that's going to be sustained. So there's these other belief systems that I'm like, well, I'm not sure that they're all correct. We don't really know what's going to happen. And so, but then I guess when you live for today, of course, I think maybe in some ways there needs to be a blend is what I'm coming up with, because I love living for today, but at the same token, of course, I don't want to be like bankrupt and
you've got bills coming in tomorrow.
Right, yeah. So
couldn't afford to do the wine tasting.
Exactly.
Although this wine tasting costs what, $5?
Oh yeah. So. Oh, that's right. Wow. You know, because all of this is in Rand. So when you travel, this is another funny thing about. So we're South Africa in some ways is actually much cheaper than America. There are many things or other things that are more expensive, but when you travel to places that are like South America and Asia that are dramatically less expensive, your money goes a lot further, which is great. But also switching currencies as you change places, that's that's for any age, no matter how good your mind is, that's takes some careful practice. But so this idea of living for today, I think, is kind of, it's something actually that when you're living for tomorrow, we don't get to do. It was funny, I was just writing the other day that, in a blog post, that I think one of the casualties of planning for tomorrow is actually not being present to the life that you're living at all. It's like you just kind of keep waking up and realizing like, oh my God, this happened 2 years ago. Oh my God, mm-hmm. I haven't seen my friend for 6 months.
Yes.
And I didn't like waking up that way. And now it's really nice to sort of wake up and be like, oh, I'm just here.
Here, present. Yes. Practicing just being present is hard.
Yeah.
You think, surely we're here. This is, but your mind is just always kind of thinking of the next step. And it's hard. I think Americans in particular, we're overachievers. We come from a capitalistic system where it's competitive, and it trains us to think in a different way. We're always about tomorrow. Well, and for a long time I lived there. Well, eventually I'll get to the point where I can live life.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that day doesn't come. When you come to that realization, like, we're not promised tomorrow. Nobody on this earth is. We all think we're going to live to 90, but the reality is, like, anything could happen at any point in time, and you're not promised that.
Yeah.
So why not live today? And yes, I think there is a blend in there, right? Like, New York's probably one extreme of the achieving, and then Africa's probably the other extreme of just let's take it only day by day. But yeah, you have to find that balance in there, but I think it's important to learn that, learn how to just be present in the day, enjoy the moment.
So how are you finding, so you moved first to sort of an environment where you had no overhead, but then you add in the travel. How are you finding like planning financially for the now? I mean, because obviously you can get somewhere to stay. I think you get like Airbnbs, that's very reasonable, but you'd want to partake in the life here. And how are any tips on like managing budget or creating budget to do what you want while you're enjoying the today?
Yeah, I mean, that's always challenging. I mean, the big thing I did was I left behind my apartment in New York and gave it up. So for me, travel is my rent. And I stay in places that are cheaper. So if my apartment in New York, which used to be $3,000,
yep,
and I'm still making New York rates, really, then I've got $3,000 a month that used to be my rent that I can spend on still rent plus travel.
Yep.
So, but because cost of living for apartments and such are usually cheaper in other areas, then I can budget that correctly. Flights plus rent is my new rent.
Yep.
And for me too, I try to do a slightly slower travel in that I like to stay places like at least a month if possible. And for me, Airbnb is great because a lot of places you can find will give you a monthly discount. Like the place I'm staying now in Cape Town, 35% off if you book for a month.
Yeah.
That's a big cost savings. Like that's a nice discount. And so if you can also get discounts if you stay a week. And different Airbnb hosts will offer different things. You really have to kind of search and find those discounts. But they're out there if you look. And if you go off season, the other thing is if you're in cities that are destinations that are at prime tourist season, rates go up, But if you can travel to them slightly off season, look, they're happy to have their residences filled with somebody. They're making some money versus no money. And you can also negotiate on Airbnb. A lot of people don't know that you can reach out to a host and say, hey, I really liked your place, saw it was available. It's a little over my budget. Would you, you know, would you work with me? How would, you know, can you offer a 10% discount or can you offer a 15? Sometimes they're like, no, I can't. I know I'm going to rent it for that price. But sometimes they're like, that's fine. No problem. You know, because they want it rented. They don't make money if it sits there empty. So, you know, if you're going off season, you've got more power to negotiate. So those are some little tips too, I guess.
I love that. I actually didn't, I haven't used Airbnb in a while, but I wouldn't have thought to negotiate with them. That's a great tip if you're listening. Also, I know another one, like if you ever use booking.com to book a hotel, it's always a good idea to first go to the website of the property you're trying to book and see if you can get a cheaper rate directly with them. Sometimes you can't, which is weird, but sometimes in certain countries you can, which is awesome. So check those out. So that's wonderful. Yeah. As you have been on this journey, are there any other lessons that you've learned that maybe surprised you about yourself, about life, anything?
I was very surprised at how many people are doing this lifestyle. Just the sense of community. If you really start reaching out, there's all these different Facebook groups. Adaptability, flexibility and adaptability. I think to me that's just, that is the tip in that.
Yeah.
It will save you a lot of anxiety and a lot of heartache if you naturally are that kind of person, or, you know, you just have to learn that as a skill over time. I don't think you can be kind of an avid world traveler and not learn that over time. It'll just, the whole process would just stress you out to no end.
Yep.
So, and then, I mean, there's just tap into networks and communities because you can get great advice and recommendations. And I mean, I've been in Cape Town long enough that I feel like a local. So when people come in, I can like tell them what to do and recommend things. And that's kind of cool. Now I feel like, you know, it kind of is a home base. I'll be here a couple more months and then I'll move on and I'll have to like reestablish somewhere else. So, but that's what makes this kind of lifestyle so exciting.
Yeah. So that's a great tip. Again, the flexibility, the adaptability, because, I mean, in life, I think that we've discussed before that the skills you learn traveling like this, unexpectedly actually relate directly to your life, to work, to so many things, and may make you, I think so many people think that, they need to, they're cornered into, I do this, I have this skill, and this is the job that I'm doing, and if I leave it, I need to go back to that job, and I'm not sure I can, ergo, I better just stay in it till, you know, ride it out.
Yes.
And I think what I've been seeing is, actually, as you travel and change, you do change, and so you become right for a whole bunch of other opportunities, or you may like tap into other talents that you didn't know you had.
Absolutely.
And people, and there's so many things that you just can't see from sitting at your desk right now that are waiting for you if you're willing to just be flexible, take a risk. Things won't work out at all the way you think they will. They just won't. I mean, for better or worse, they just won't. It's okay.
Take the leap anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jennifer, I think we should say cheers. Oh, you're on red.
I'm on red.
All right, so cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And again, if you are watching the series and you would like to be on it, I'd love to have you. And maybe we can meet up at another vineyard somewhere else in the world or somewhere exciting. And you can fill out a questionnaire at www.interviewquestionnaire.com. I always love feedback. I'd love to hear any questions you might have about the series, or maybe you want to know things from future guests. You can email me at heather@heathermarkell.com. And while I'm on that topic, where can people reach out to you if watching this video they'd like to ask you questions?
I think probably the easiest is just my Instagram. I post all my travel photos there, and it's just jennifer.mcgee. And McGee is spelled M-A-G-E-E. And yeah, I have a public profile, so you can just follow me or send me a message on there, and that's probably the best way.
Perfect. Thank you. And of course, if you're not already in our Facebook group, we have one called the Inspired Nomads to go along with the video series, which we also, of course, broadcast via podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play. So until next time, thank you so much for watching. This has been another episode of The Inspired Nomads. Take care. See you on the next episode. Cheers.
Cheers.